Striving in forgiveness. And I don't need to give disclaimers, but today I am. This is a hot topic, a hot button topic for me. And I won't say why necessarily. It's just that in my 30 plus years of Christian ministry, I've seen too many Christians. Are you listening? Too many Christians struggle with this topic, learning to forgive. And yet, our entire salvation is based and built upon the very fact that Jesus forgave us and God forgave us of our sin, right? And yet Christians struggle with this area. So it grieves me as a Christian minister. It grieves me as a Christian. Have I struggled with it? Yes. But I've seen other Christians just really. And of course, the end result of unforgiveness is what? Bitterness. And if you get to that stage, my friend, you're in trouble. You are in serious trouble. And we'll talk about those things this morning. I meant to ask my wife this, and I forgot to this morning. There was an instance just recently, almost recently, I've been here 5 years, so it was prior to that, within the last 10 years. And if you think of who I'm speaking about, you can tell me. But there was a preacher that preached a message on forgiveness. And I thought I was doing okay. And in that message, God spoke to my heart and revealed to me. I mean, how can you not know that you need to forgive somebody, right? But for whatever reason, I was just unaware of this. That I needed to forgive my father. I was holding... I don't know if it was bitterness or not, but I just had unforgiveness. My father had divorced my mother when I was 16. So my sister was 11, and my brother would have been 7 or 8. And so that kind of rocked our family. I probably fared the best out of it, even though it certainly impacted my life. My sister, younger brother, probably affected him the worst, and still to this day he is who he is, I believe, because of that, and because he never had any male figure in his life after that. I could have stepped in and been the male, but I was off too busy doing my thing, and even not saved yet anyway. So, but this preaching, I don't remember where it was, if it was at First Baptist before we came here or what, but God spoke to my heart about that, and I went to the altar, and I let that go. And my dad hadn't gone to heaven yet, and I spoke to him about that. But, you know, unforgiveness in your heart, I don't even know what I want to say. It's rough. And what we need to learn from that and learn from our lesson today is that it hurts you more than the person who you think you're having a grudge or the unforgiveness towards. You follow me? You're not hurting them. You're hurting you. And so this is a hot button topic for me. I'll try not to get preachy. Right now I feel like crying, so I don't know how. I don't know which direction we'll go, but we need to learn to forgive. So in a moment when I pray, would you do me a favor? Ask God to speak to your heart. What do you need to get from this lesson today? Because I guarantee you God has something for each and every one of us here this morning. In fact, let's pray now, then we'll read the text. Father, we always have a great time in Sunday school, and this morning I don't expect anything different than normal. But this is such an important topic, Father, that Christians struggle and they fail in this area of forgiveness. I have. And I pray that you'll help us this morning by the dear Holy Ghost of God. Help us, Lord. You've forgiven us of so much, and you continue to do so. Why can't we forgive?
Help us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, let's go to verse 23 and read this text. This is the, I was trying to think of that word. There's a word that describes when it's the go-to section of Scripture. What is that word? The
Consummate.
Okay, that's not quite the word I wanted, but that's a good word. What's the word quintessential mean? Is that the right word? I'm talking to a bunch of hillbillies, right? So who knows? I mean, we don't know these big words, right? Sorry, I didn't mean to offend you there. Forgive me, please. Verse 23, here we go. Therefore, Jesus speaking, of course, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, we're not going to try to calculate what these numbers mean in today's currency, but it's huge. This amount right here is like unpayable. It's unthinkable. We sing that song, he owed a debt he didn't owe. We owed a debt we could not pay. That's that. Here's a debt he just could not pay. 10,000 talents. Verse 25, but forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, pardon me, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. So he wanted to sell off the family as slaves, so to speak. So the servant, therefore, fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He didn't know how. This was a big... You know, this was positive thinking, and, you know, he was being optimistic, but, man, it's a huge debt. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Wow. Now, here's where it gets weird. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Now, this is piddly. This is like if I owed you $1. Or something. It's just such a small amount. This person owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And this fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Same thing he said to the king. And he would not, but went out and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he called him, said unto him, watch what he says now, O thou wicked servant. You get the correlation here? When we forget, when we fail to forgive others, O wicked servant. O wicked servant. I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord, his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise, now Jesus concludes with this, this statement, so likewise shall my heavenly Father also do unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. And that's strong. And so we need to learn from this for sure. All right, here we go. Our human nature causes within us a hesitancy to forgive those who have wronged us. Especially those who have done so repeatedly. Repeatedly. You know, here in, let's back up a little bit in our text. Look at verse 21, because this really is what launches this teaching that Jesus is bringing out. Verse 21, Peter wanted to know, well, how many times am I required to forgive someone? Look what Peter said in verse 21. Then came Peter to him, the Lord, and said, Lord, How oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Oh, Lord, you know, seven's a good number. He didn't know it, but number of perfection maybe. That'd be a great number, right? Should I forgive him seven times? Jesus said in verse 22, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Did he mean literally 490 times? No, he meant just keep on forgiving. There's no limit. You don't stop forgiving. You just forgive. Why? Because that's what God does for us. Amen? That's what God does for us. So he comes with this very important question, which launches this teaching that Jesus gives us about forgiveness. And so we say that our human nature, it causes a hesitancy to forgive those who have wronged us, especially those who have done so repeatedly. Now, as we go through the lesson, we will be using this word wronged, but I want to qualify that a little bit. You know, when we think of someone wronging us, don't think just someone broke into my house and stole all my valuables. That would be wrong for sure. But on the other end of the spectrum, it could be as simple or as little as a cross word spoken to you. You follow me? Oftentimes when we think, especially if we're the offenders, well, I didn't do anything wrong. I only said what was on my mind. That's the problem. So wrong isn't just what we think of extreme big, you know, big sins or big wrongs. It could be as little or as minor, and I hate to use those words, but because sin is sin, but as little or minor as just a cross word. Okay, so keep that in your mind as we use these this terminology. So Jesus gives this parable. It's easily understood, very easy to understand, but it's less easily obeyed. As I mentioned in the introduction, it's very hard. But Jesus gives us three components. He paints a very clear picture of forgiveness and what it takes to forgive. Oh, sorry, let's get this one here. Unwillingness to forgive is nothing else but human pride spawned in the pits of hell. You say, whoa, that's pretty strong. Yeah, it's meant to shock you. I put that statement there to shock you because when you or I fail to forgive, we just won't do it. You're siding with Satan. You're doing the devil's work. It's like the devil trying to get God to not forgive you when you've sinned. Don't forgive him. Don't forgive him. The devil might say to God. I'm telling you, friend, we need to have this heart of forgiveness and obey the Lord in these things. We'll get into that a bit more here. Let's get into our outline. So first of all, we need to see the participants in forgiveness. Now, I didn't put the verses on your sheet, but you might want to write them down along next to the points as we go along. This is verses 23 to 30. We won't reread the scripture because it'll take us over time, but as we go through this, we'll see the participants in this scenario. So first of all, there is the offended party. I forgot to put the microphone on too, so but I'm doing okay. I'll just stay behind this mic. There is the offended party, verses 24 and 28. List that for us. In this story, being wronged or offended is paralleled with this person who owed a debt. And the debt is the responsibility of the other person, but it costs us. Jesus said that we could expect to be wronged in this life. Didn't he say that? He said this in John 16:33. In the world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. But he made the statement, ye shall have tribulation. We just expect to be wronged in this life. Jesus gave specific instructions on how to respond when we are wronged. Now, it's two things. I'll list it here now, and the rest of the lesson is about these two things, but here it is. Number one, do not ignore or disregard the offense if you're the one being offended. Allowing a spirit of bitterness to develop. Isn't that what happens? Something goes haywire and we just stew on it. You know, most of you here, I think, with the exception of a few, will remember my grandmother had it, the old percolators, coffee percolator. put the coffee grounds in it, and you know, I had a little basket up on top. You put the coffee in it with a long stem, and you put it into the pot of water and set it on the stovetop, turn the burner on. And on the lid had this little glass thing that stuck up. And when you saw the water bouncing, you know, the colored water, it was black water now, bouncing up inside that glass, you knew it was time to turn the burner off or take it off the stove. It was ready. It was percolating. And well, that's what we do when we don't forgive. We have this offense. It comes. We stew on it. We percolate. We let it build pressure. That develops into bitterness, and then we're in trouble. So we can't ignore or disregard. Secondly, we must seek restoration. We must seek restoration. So those are the two overarching things that Jesus is going to teach us as we move through the lesson here. You know, this is God's method. Man's method is this: gossip and vengeance. Rather than tell it to the person who's hurt us, let's look at verses 15 to 16, because that tells us here, instead of trying to say it to you. Look at verse 15. This is God's way of doing it. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, doesn't matter what the offense was, big or small, it says, go and tell who? Your friends? No. Your neighbor? No. You tell it to the person who's hurt you. You go to them and say, we need to talk. And let them know. Tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. So it's all well. And it goes on with some other instruction, but we'll not get there yet. So that's God's method. And man's method is gossip and vengeance, which certainly does not produce restoration. All right, so there's the offended party. That's the first person. The second is there's the one who has sinned, the person who has caused the offense, the one who has done wrong. That's verses 26 and 29. Again, we'll not keep going back looking at it. I really want to get done on time today. It's my goal. Look at this. It is easy to acknowledge when we have been offended. Oh, yes. Well, he hurt me. She hurt me. They said this. They said that. They did this. They did that. But it's much harder to admit when we have been the offender. Ouch. Help us. Yeah, it's easy to say that person hurt me. It's harder to admit when we're the one who is the offender. There was a Sunday school teacher one time. She just concluded her lesson, and she wanted to make sure the students understood the point that she was making. And so she said to the students, "Can anyone tell me what you must do before you can obtain forgiveness of sin?" There was a short pause, and then suddenly a little boy blurted out this answer. He said, "You have to sin." Yeah, right. I guess that's you have to have that in order to have forgiveness, but... Because of our human nature, we will inevitably wrong someone else sometime in your life. It's just going to be that way, unfortunately. But when that's the case, get this verse. You want to write this reference down. Jesus said, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar," so bringing the gift to the altar, bringing the sacrifice. In our instance, when we come to pray. We could apply it that way. When you come to pray to the Father, if the Holy Spirit brings to your mind, something's not right between me and so-and-so. He says there, when you bring your gift to the altar and remembers that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer your gift or your sacrifice or your prayer. Right? That's God's method. So this is very important. In fact, this goes into, don't have time for it, but it goes into the marriage relationship as well. Peter talked about, listen, if you and your wife aren't right, God's not going to hear that prayer. And so it's very important that these horizontal relationships are right so that we can be right with our vertical relationship. So because of our human nature, we said that, got that already. All right, let's move on. Restoration is always God's plan. That's what God wants. Just like Jesus came to restore fellowship with us and the Father, that was the whole idea of Jesus coming. That same picture comes into our Christian lives with us, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it has to be that way. Restoration is accomplished through humble repentance from the one who has sinned. Watch this. And grace-driven forgiveness from the one who was offended. I like those words. Grace-driven forgiveness. All right. Now there's a third participant we mustn't forget. There's the omniscient Lord. If this parable were only about two servants, we would miss the most important factor in forgiveness. In the parable, there was a third character. He was called the certain king. And he was the one to whom the servants were accountable. And so he becomes very important. And the Bible tells us that he was the one who was moved with compassion and gave the forgiveness. He forgave the debt. And so that becomes very important. As Christians, we would be wise to remember the omniscience of the God who has forgiven us. Now watch this. And is nearby, and is watching, and is waiting every time we are called on to forgive. I wonder how the Lord must feel. Knowing that he gave his only begotten Son to forgive, so we could be forgiven. Then he's in heaven watching the affairs of life, and he sees an instance come to you or to me. And he's, of course, he's always nearby. He's omniscient. And so he stands back and he watches. What will my, of course, he already knows, of course, but what will, put in our human terms, what will my child do when they're called on to forgive? And he sees us fail. That must hurt the heart of God. And he sees us fail to forgive. Wow. The whole reason that we can forgive, friends, the whole reason we must forgive, is that he has forgiven us. Amen? That's why, and why we must. Because he has forgiven us so much. Ephesians 4 says, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as for God's, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You know, you should forgive for the other person's sake. You should forgive for your own sake, so that bitterness doesn't develop. But for no other reason, we need to do it for Christ's sake. God forgave us because of Jesus and his sacrifice. We must forgive others. So important. All right, let's go on here. The debt that the servant was asked to forgive was far less than the debt the king had already forgiven. You know, this guy went out and found his friend who owed him some money. I forgot to put my new glasses on today. He went out and found this guy who owed him a little bit of money. He grabs him by the throat and, you know, he was just forgiven an insurmountable debt. And he goes out to this guy that owes him a couple dollars, and he's like, "You pay me what you owe me." Unbelievable. So we must learn from that. We must remember that the Lord has forgiven in our lives when we are hesitant to forgive one of our fellow servants of a much smaller offense. God has forgiven much more to in our lives than anyone else can ever hurt us with. So that leads us to the second thing, the principles of forgiveness. This is verses 31 to 33. And we'll be able to go through this fairly quickly, I think. 31 to 33. First of all, forgiveness is preceded by repentance. What we see is the first servant and the second servant humbled themselves, acknowledging their debt, and sought forgiveness. Once repentance has occurred, forgiveness is required. Once repentance has occurred, forgiveness is required. Look at this verse. Luke 17:3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, what? Forgive him. Forgive. When they're sorry, when they've repented, when they've said, look, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry about that. Would you forgive me? Forgive me? It should be a resounding yes. Yes, I forgive you because God forgave me. Letter B. Forgiveness sometimes requires repeating. You know, the human nature is this. You know, that guy did this. He did it again. Oh, he did it again. I'm done. Really? What if God said to you, you come to the altar, Lord, I sinned again. And before you even get into it, God's like, no, I'm done. I've had it up to here with your nonsense. Is God going to do that? No, he's the God of a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, 1,000, 2,000th chance. He just forgives. He just keeps on forgiving. Why is that? Very important factor, the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? It washes us clean. But to his son paid the price. Amen. So sometimes it requires repeating. You mean, that person did it again. Forgive him. And again, forgive him. They did it again. Forgive him. Repetitious forgiveness is contrary to our nature and thinking, and it's definitely contrary to this world's attitude and thinking. So we said this in a recent lesson, it's not natural to forgive, right? It's supernatural. It's a supernatural thing. And we're coming up to a statement about here in a minute that's over the top. I really like it. I can't wait to get there. Let's keep moving here. So get this verse. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, wow, in the same day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, I'm sorry, I did it again, I'm sorry, thou shalt forgive him. By the way, friends, this is Bible. I'm reading the Bible to you, God's principles, God's commands. These aren't suggestions. This is what God says, how you deal with it. Someone offends you 7 times in the very same day, you forgive him 7 times in the very same day. Wow. Let's go on. Letter C. These are principles of forgiveness. It's also permanent. It's permanent. We may not be able to mentally forget someone's sin against us, but we should be able to behave as if we'd forgotten it. By the way, there's this wonderful doctrine. We mentioned doctrine a little while ago. This is why Christians need to know doctrine and understand doctrine. There's a wonderful doctrine called justification. And I'll give you the cliff notes, just the simple version of it. Basically is this. It's almost in the word justified. It's God looking at us, just if I'd never sinned in the first place. When God applies justification, he views us and looks at us as with the righteousness of Christ, and it's as if we had never sinned. And we have to apply that same thinking to this principle here. You know, I know that we're human. We don't have a mind like God where he forgets our sins. So literally in our mind, we may remember that the person did that, but we need to behave as though it never happened. As though it never happened. Of course, as I mentioned, God is able to do this. He remembers their sins no more. And praise the Lord for that. Amen. I'm glad about that. Hallelujah. Let's keep moving. Letter D. Forgiveness is also unmerited. It's unmerited. Jesus forgave us, not because we earned it or deserved it or had merit. No, he did it because he earned it. He's the one who paid the ultimate price. And so he earned it, if you please. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. This is what irks me as a believer and as a Christian minister, is that the Bible is full, are you listening? Is full of instruction and principles on relationships, and we just pretend like they're not there. We just live like the world. We hold grudges. We get upset. We get mad. We stew. We tell others. We complain about it. We gossip. Listen, God has given us clear instruction on how to handle these things. But the big one, and of course the topic today, is just forgive. Be forgiving. And here's another clear verse. Look, if there's a quarrel against you, hey, just Christ forgiven you, forgive it. And go on. Let's move. Letter E, another principle, it also prohibits vengeance. Jesus was our ultimate example in not seeking vengeance. This is a great verse. 1 Peter 2:23. Who, when he was reviled, talking about our Lord, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Boy, that's a good principle. You know, when someone hurts me or does wrong by me, I need to forgive them, but not only that, I just need to commit the whole thing to the Lord. Lord, you're the one that rights all the wrongs. And it may not be righted here on earth, but it will be righted someday. You're the righteous judge, and you're the one. Vengeance belongs to you, not me. And so I'm just going to leave the whole thing in your hands. You take care of it. Me here on earth, I'll just forgive. Let it go. Don't get bitter. Next. This is a biggie. Forgiveness prevents bitterness. Forgiveness prevents bitterness. Let me read this little illustration to you here. A little boy was sitting on a park bench in obvious pain. A man walking by asked him what was wrong. The young boy said, "I'm sitting on a bumblebee." The man urgently asked, "Then why don't you get up?" The boy replied, "Because I figure I'm hurting him more than he's hurting me." Yeah, that's how we do, though. How many of us handle forgiveness like this little boy? We endure pain believing we are hurting our offender more than they're hurting us. When we get off the bench of unforgiveness, both parties can begin to realize relief from their pain. Amen. Here's a strong statement, a powerful statement. Bitterness destroys the container that it holds. And oh my, I've seen that happen too many times. Bitterness destroys. If you're the container, that bitterness will destroy you. And that's not just some proverb or some philosophical thinking. That's what the Bible says. Well, let's look at the verse here. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. You fail of the grace that allows you to forgive. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Wow. We've all heard this statement. Bitterness is the poison we swallow in our effort to harm the one who has wronged us. And that's so true. All right, brings us to number three, the priority of forgiveness. At this point, we need to ask this question: how important does God consider our willingness to forgive? Well, we've been kind of hammering on it already. We've been hammering it down, but it's very important to him. Letter A, for the Lord, compassion is a priority. And we can see that in verse 33. The Bible says, "Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on that fellow servant?" When those other servants said, they ran back to the king and said, "King, you're not going to believe what we just saw. You know that guy you just forgave the huge debt?" He goes, "Yeah." He went out and found a friend of his, a buddy, who owed him hardly anything, you know, It's just so small. He grabbed him by the throat and was choking him and said, "You pay me what you owe me." When the king had him brought in, he made this statement to him, "Shouldest not thou also have had compassion?" That was important to the king. That's why he said that. "Look, I had compassion on you. Why didn't you have compassion?" He's making it a priority. So for this king and for our Lord, compassion is a priority. Here's my statement that I love. This is probably my favorite thing in the whole lesson. When we exhibit compassion through forgiveness, we are being most like the Lord Jesus. You understand that? Isn't it our goal to be like Jesus? I want to be like Jesus. I want to live like Jesus. There's lots of ways I can live like Jesus. No, I can't perform miracles. I can't walk on water. Lots of things I can't do, but there's a heap of things that I can do to be like my Lord. And this is at top of the list. I can be just like Jesus when I forgive. In fact, I'm being most like Him when I forgive, because that's what this whole thing was about. It's about forgiveness. It's about redemption. It's about reconciliation. It's about restoration. And so we're being most like the Lord when we forgive. Here's a couple great verses. Write these references down. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. Isn't that a good verse? But I like this one better. For thou, Lord, art good. Get this phrase. And ready to forgive. Do you get that? He's ready to forgive. You say, "Well, I didn't sin yet." That's okay. He's ready to forgive when you do. In fact, he may be expecting it, but when you sin, he's already ready to forgive. He has forgiveness stored up, if you please. In that psalm, we see the expression "ready to forgive." This is the default position of our God, and it should be our default position as well. Isn't that good? That's God's default position. He's ready to forgive. I love that. And then secondly, obedience is a priority. So these were the priority of this king. He brought up compassion. Now he's going to bring up obedience, verse 34 and 35. His Lord was wroth, delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay. And then the Bible tells us, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do to you if from your hearts you fail to forgive your brothers of their trespass. And so we see the need for obedience here. Simply put, forgiveness is a command. And obeying a command is a choice, just like any other command. You choose whether you want to obey it or not. The Lord says, go soul winning. You choose. Am I going to go or not? The Lord says, tithe. You choose. Am I going to do it or not? The Lord says, forgive. You choose. Am I going to forgive? Am I going to obey or not? And on, Bible's full of commands that we have to obey. We choose whether we will or not. Withholding forgiveness from others. This is the severity of it. This is the somberness of it. You need to realize this. Withholding forgiveness from others places us in direct disobedience to our Heavenly Father, which by extension of that, places us in line for His chastisement. When chastisement comes, we must ask ourselves, is there someone I need to forgive? God is roughing me up. He's chastising me. He's dealing with me. The first thing I would certainly consider is, there someone I'm not right with? And that's why this is coming my way. That should be our first thought. Okay, I didn't make it, but please forgive me. We got two or three more things here real quick. But here, he gives this admonishment. If you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And that is that's solemn. I mean, that's a tough verse. Okay, in conclusion. So, I asked you to pray earlier, so if anything, the Lord brought anything to your mind, these might be the areas which He thought, which He brought to your mind. Is there someone you've wronged, you've sinned against, you've hurt, you said the wrong thing, whatever wrong means? Is there someone like that from whom you should seek forgiveness? We have to ask ourselves these questions. Is there someone who has wronged you, who has hurt you, who has sinned against you, who has offended you, who you need to approach? There can be no restoration until you take the first step, speaking honestly, get these words, with grace. You don't go and say, I want to tell you something. You go humbly and filled with grace, and you say, we need to have a chat. We need to talk about something. Then lastly, is there someone who has wronged you? This is the biggie. And has truly repented, to whom you are withholding forgiveness? That's bad. That's real bad. All right. Well, let's pray and we'll take a break. Father, thank you so much for our lesson today. Lord, this is, in my calculation, in my mind, this is certainly one of the top areas that every Christian needs to address and deal with and be just on top of it. We need to be, our default position should be ready to forgive. And so help us in these areas, please. Bless the hour to come. Bless our preacher as he brings the message. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you for your attention.